Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We're your hosts, Steven
and Kyle,
and you know the drill. We're back,
living the dream.
We are back. Kyle's got
been waiting for this moment all night long.
Savor it. Oh, it's a good sound.
This is gonna be so good.
I already cracked mine open. I couldn't even make it that far. But
oh yes,
Kyle needs the energy to bring us a whole bunch of dope ass dog man attacks. So yeah. I'm stoked on this
I think there's like two or three in here. And the first one is fucking creepy, and it also runs parallel to one of my experiences that I didn't equate to dog man until we were on the confessionals, and then I'm like, interesting.
Could be, bro.
But that's for later on.
First, we got to get through all the business.
That's so right.
Check us out at all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Come and hang out with us. There's all different kinds of ways you can get your stories out. They're in the show notes.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. We need official sponsors. So Monster, Dr. Squatch, other cool stuff.
Ferrari.
Ferrari. All of it. We need you.
that's the Squatch call, everyone.
Yeah, so
get us sponsors. Ooh, Squatch call.
Yeah, I definitely think that they should.
You nailed it.
I did. I know. We're getting sponsored tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, the show notes will tell you how to do it. If you have one you'd actually like to converse with us about, if you don't want to just send an email in, you feel comfortable coming on the show and talking about it, shoot us an email. We'll set it up. Just had a great conversation with our homie Kenneth tonight. It was awesome. It was just a good time just talking with our buddy.
Yeah, so, it was cool.
If you'd like that, get at us. All different kinds of way to support the show. We've got a Patreon. We got a Venmo. All those links are also in the show notes. We have a merch store if you'd like to buy a t-shirt. That'd be cool as fuck. So you could be stylish and weird all in the same breath. Just be awesome. There's other ways you can support us. Best way is to tell all your friends that are into weird shit about us.
Please.
Pass the word on.
Please.
It's the really the best thing you can do for anyone.
With some of the emails that we've been recently getting, I feel like we're teetering on the abyss of awesomeness.
I you know what? I'm here for it.
Because we got.
I hope so.
Which, I mean, well, and some of the phone calls. Like, we have Project Mannequin Lady. We've got Monsters Are Real. We've got the South America stuff.
Predator.
Yeah, South American Predator.
Yeah, if these people would get a hold of us again, yeah, that would be great.
We need to have a conversation with all of you.
We would like to talk about it.
So yeah, I feel like I feel like we're right there. Like, the weird shit is finally starting
to pour in.
To really, really go somewhere good.
And you guys get to be part of it.
Yeah. Me and Steve are going to quit our jobs, and we're going tomorrow to South America and fighting Predator.
And other beings that we don't know exist.
Yeah, so that is a preload to what's coming in the future.
Possibly, if they email us back.
That's true. That's true. So, my bad.
If you're listening to the show and something exceptionally weird has happened to you, holler at us.
Please.
But if you don't have anything weird happen to you, you're like, what can I do to be part of the show? Well, you can go and leave us a 5-star rating and review. That'd be sick.
Yes, please.
And I'll shout you out on a future episode. Like this wonderful person. Meow meow 214.
I love it.
Meow meow 214 says, "Weird and wonderful. Give these guys a go. They are great. If you want stories that are weird and creepy, then this podcast is for you. Every time I listen to them before I sleep, I always end up listening to multiple episodes. Stay weird. Silly face emoji."
I think, as far as I can remember, that is my second favorite username.
It's got to be Bigfoot Bong Ripper.
Bigfoot Bong Ripper to date has taken the cake. But hey, let's play a game. Anyone that
tattoo of Bigfoot taking bong rips will get a Hollow Sky sticker pack.
I mean, and me and Steve will get professional pictures taken of our face, and then we'll sign those and send them to you as well.
I didn't agree to any of this shit.
But no, seriously, from now on, all you comedians out there, start making epic handles for our reviews. That way we have to read some
specifically Apple
very interesting usernames.
Bigfoot Bong Ripper is the pinnacle right now, so you're gonna have to bring your A game.
What was this one? Meow meow.
Meow meow.
That's so good. It's so dumb. Meow meow 214. I love the fact that it's 214 as well.
We appreciate you
absolutely
so much.
That made me
you
laugh.
Too are weird and wonderful, and we love you.
Oh, that's so good. I hope that people listen to that and start making the most fucking ridiculous.
I hope someone gets usernames. A fucking Bigfoot Bong Ripper tattoo.
That'd be cool too. You know somebody's going to.
They have to. It's out there now.
Yeah.
If you don't have a Bigfoot Bong Ripper tattoo, you are not in support of the podcast. So
it's true. Very true.
It's out there. Anyway, moving on. We have our listener experience of the day for the show that I will get into right now. It is from our friend Todd. It's titled Paranormal from New Mexico. He says, "What's up, guys? Great podcast. I've been in law enforcement for over 10 years. I started working in the Phoenix, Arizona area and ended up in rural New Mexico. While working in Phoenix, I mainly worked on a night shift and worked in the southernmost area of Phoenix with a clear view of the Estrella Mountains and the South Mountain. In the 90s, the Phoenix lights happened over the South Mountain, and particularly over Estrella Mountains. My partner and I, along with several other officers, had seen on many different occasions lights that would come and go over the mountains. At first, I thought it was planes on a final approach to Sky Harbor, which is Phoenix's airport, but quickly dismissed this because of the erratic movements of the lights. I have also worked on missing person cases where hikers seem to vanish for no reason." Weird. Now, moving to New Mexico, I hired on with the very rural sheriff's department. The county I worked in was nestled between three different Native American tribes with vast amounts of the county roads traveling through the native lands. I was working nights as I prefer the night shift for my own reasons, but this particular night I had a reserve deputy riding with me. Now, a few weeks earlier, we had two natives get hit by a semi after coming in contact with one of the local police departments. So our sheriff made a new regulation that we had to give people a ride if we found them to be walking down one of the many dark roads. So this night, my reserve deputy and I saw a native man walking on the opposite side of the highway, so I turned around and made contact with the man. It was below freezing temps this night, so I'd offered him a ride, and after a quick pat-down, I'd let him in the car. He told us he was walking to the next town to the truck stop, the truck shop, for work, so I headed that way. He didn't speak much, as most natives in the area were quiet people, so I didn't press for conversation with him. The truck stop was about a 10-minute ride, and once I arrived, I notified dispatch and got out to open the door, only to find that my back seat was completely empty. I physically touched this guy during my pat-down, and I know for a fact he was in my car. My reserve deputy also saw the guy, and even noted that he could smell the faint smell of body odor in the car from the guy. We have cameras installed in the back seat to video prisoners during transport. We rushed back to the office and pulled the footage. On the video, you can hear myself and the reserve deputy talking and even hear him say he saw a guy walking. You can see me standing outside the patrol car talking, see the back door open, and then the footage goes completely static for a full 11 minutes. Then you see me looking in the back seat like a damn fool. We have a couple dispatchers and two other deputies that are native, and I told each of them. Two thought it could have been a skinwalker, but the others were sure it was a native man that froze to death almost 30 years earlier. The truck stop had changed hands several times, but had remained open the whole time, and this guy worked in the restaurant as a cook. The story goes that he walked to and from work daily and had been asked to cover the night shift when he never showed for work. The next morning, he was found frozen in a snowbank by a state worker driving a snow truck. I have a few other stories. One includes a lady in white and a few other accounts from friends that work at a local coal mine as well. Thanks for the great podcast. Stay weird, fuckers. Todd. All right.
Hell yeah. That's a fucked up story.
I do dig the fact that you've seen the Phoenix Lights. That's a pretty integral UFO sighting.
Yeah.
Probably the most well-known UFO sighting.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is pretty awesome that you got to experience that.
I'm just mind-fucked on this happening here. Like, it's bizarre that he was able to touch the fella.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, man. The physicality of it all makes it not seem as
ghosty. Same.
As opposed to the other option.
Skinwalker?
Yeah.
I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
I don't know all the ins and outs of skinwalkers either, though. Like, can they just straight up vanish?
I don't know, man.
I mean, mate, most likely. Why not?
Yeah, it's weird that the whole situation is weird. The fact that there's video of you pulling over, you conversing with your deputy about the man that you clearly see walking along the road, you open up the back door, and any time that this entity was supposed to be on film, it's just static.
Which we've had this at least two other times now.
Dealing with?
Aliens. I hope that it wasn't an alien. But then again, not so bad.
Which,
because you gave him a ride.
Just be playing off what we always attribute aliens to, which is like screen memories or making it something that's familiar to the area.
That gives me goosebumps.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. It is weird.
Piss-ass alien that needs a ride hitchhiking.
You did give an alien a ride to the truck stop.
I mean, it's something to talk about. It's definitely a conversation starter.
Yeah, man, it's almost like the,
I'm kind of vibing skinwalker.
Yeah, but it's got that, almost that classic lady in white ghost story where you give them a ride and they disappear.
Right.
The whole camera thing is what throws me for a loop. Like,
well, for me, it's the physicality of him being able to touch the dude.
Yeah.
Because you don't think of ghosts as physical beings.
Think so. Because I don't know, bro.
You can't smack a ghost.
No. Yeah, that's weird. That is weird.
It is weird.
I don't know, Todd.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
It's pretty bizarre.
Your experience is definitely weird.
And the fact that two of them mentioned skinwalkers.
Yeah, there's probably something to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's probably something to it.
Maybe we'll have to look into skinwalkers, see if they can just vanish.
I'm sure they can.
Yeah, they're skinwalkers. They can do whatever the fuck
exactly.
They want.
Exactly.
But speaking of such, thank you, Todd, for taking the time to send that experience in. I don't know,
it
bro.
Was actually
weird.
Awesome.
it is weird.
It's a cool one.
Kyle's going to morph from a skinwalker to a dogman. He's going to jump right into these bizarre dogman attacks.
Yep. This story definitely caught my attention. I was putting in work. I'd just gotten done writing my occult in modern times. And I'm like, what? I got plenty of time left. What can I write about? So I just thought about, I'm like, dogman. I haven't really written about dogman too much. Get to looking around, and I find this story. It's from the cloakedhedgehog.com.
Oh, that's a dope podcast. Yeah. Or not podcast, a website.
Yeah. So the person submitting this story says that on October 23rd. 23rd.
I
say it like my son would say it. October 23rd, they were woke up by a gang of crows raising hell on their property. So this dude, you come to find out a little more about him personally later, but I wrote that this dude must have been ready because he hears crows outside and he's like, all right, that's it. Fuck it. Something's out there. I'm going to grab my shotgun, which is loaded with double-aught buckshot. I'm going to go have me a look. So
he's
go,
like, coming for you, crows.
Yeah.
Trying to take a nap.
Yeah. So he goes outside, and he notices a dead deer balled up on the edge of his pond. And at this point, which once again, later on, you find out a little more about this guy. But at this point, I'm assuming who wouldn't do it? He must have walked out in his underwear or his jammies or whatever, because at this point, he's like, all right. See that dead deer over there? I think I'm going to go. Oh, and the crows, he noticed that the crows were alerting to something roughly about 40 yards up the hill. So he's like, all right, I'm going to go back to the house. I'm going to get myself dressed. He grabs his 1911 and his semi-auto 308, which 308's a pretty heavy round. She's a nasty girl. Then he heads back to the scene. This guy goes into straight hunt mode and decides to flush out whatever the crows were alerting to. So he starts to move around, kind of flank the general area where the crows were alerting to. And when he got to that spot, the crows had left, and he found a large depression in the leaves behind a big log. For some reason, he goes back down. I'm assuming this is the way it's read. He goes back down, drags the deer up to this spot, and he's assuming, or I'm assuming that he's trying to compare the size of the impression on the ground, since deers are known for bedding and compressing grass, all that shit. At this point, he noticed how oddly the deer had been mutilated. There were no drag marks. There were no footprints anywhere. There was no blood. There were no guts or tufts of hair anywhere. The deer actually had bit on its skull, and it bit hard enough to puncture the skull. The tooth went through the skull. It was, and the guy says it was a massive bite. He said the deer's backbone had been ripped out from the abdomen because whatever it was oddly like gores the deer and then reaches up into the deer, grabs the backbone and pulls it out.
God damn.
Through the belly. The deer's right leg was broke. The deer's shoulders had been turned inside out and its back loins were removed. The deer had also been drained of all of its blood.
That's so crazy that there's so much visual carnage, but there's not any, like, evidence that it happened there.
And after I'm done with the story, I'll show you the pictures of it. He actually took pictures of all of it.
Sick. I'll have to post them up. And get banned from Facebook.
Right. the deer's white underbelly had all been removed along with the guts. The entire diaphragm was cleanly ripped out. And this guy's like, there's no known predator that could have removed it like this. Not even a human would really do this. So the rest of the day, the guy searches his property because he's like, all right, there's no guts, there's no blood, there's no nothing. That obviously means this is not the kill site. It was killed somewhere else. So he wanders all around his property and finds nothing. Can't find a thing. So I guess he basically gets tired of trying to find the kill site. And he's like, all right, whatever. It's over with. I am going to call her a day. Later on that night, around 12 o'clock, something massive let out a deep, gravelly howl that he says lasts about 10 seconds. Roughly an hour later, something was outside growling and circling his home. He claims it circled his house around 70 times.
Holy shit.
And a few of those times, as it was going by, every once in a while, it would try to open a door. It would try and pull on the windows. Just before daylight broke, the thing decided to leave. Now, the entire next day, the man has a strong feeling that he was in danger. The second night, the creature comes back, and he says, I opened the blind of the window at my kitchen sink to see where exactly this creature is. He's like, it was really dark. There was very little moonlight. And then all of a sudden, this thing walks in front of the window. He's like, my heart basically stopped because whatever the fuck it is out there is walking on its hind legs. He could see its arm swinging as it walked by. It had a head the size of a large grizzly bear with ears about 7 inches long and a very long snout. It stood about 8 feet tall and was all black. So, you know, whether it was fear or amazement or awe or whatever, maybe a little bit of all of it, he sits there and watches this thing pass the window several times. And he's like, all right, I need to go get old girl. So he goes and he grabs his .308 just in case this creature decides to come through the door or the window or whatever. The creature stops at the window, and he said that it actually had to bend down to look inside the window. And he's like, this thing couldn't see me because I was standing just far enough off to the side that I know that there's no way this thing saw me. So as this creature is looking in the window, he raises his gun and he kind of focuses it right on the creature's head. And he really didn't have any intention to shoot. He was only going to shoot if this creature decided to try to come through the window. But at this moment, when he has the gun zeroed on the creature's head, he flips off the safety. And the second he flips that safety, the creature's ears perk up. And he looks right in the direction of where the dude is. The guy is still under the assumption that the creature can't see him, but the creature definitely heard something coming from his location. So it stands there for a couple more seconds trying to listen for any other movements, and then it starts to slowly back away, only to continue circling the home. He said it did this for about the next 4 hours until it finally left. So the man waited another 30 minutes and decided, all right, it must be gone. I'm going to go to bed. Well, while I was lying there, and this is the literal first time I've ever heard of anything like this, but it starts to bring back some memories for me. Well, as he was lying there, he could hear something approaching the wall where his head was. Once it got closer, he could hear a heartbeat. And as this thing got closer and closer, the heartbeat noise got louder and louder.
That's terrifying.
And louder. Then he could hear bristly fur rubbing against the wall just right on the other side of his head. He said that the heartbeat got so loud that the man's dog was actually hiding and shaking.
Hey, Holocult, the weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
And started to whine as if it was dying, almost like this heartbeat noise was like causing his dog pain.
That's weird.
So at this point, the man jumps off the bed, grabs his rifle again, thinking, all right, you know what? I'm probably hearing my own heartbeat because I'm scared out of my gourd right now. So he checks his pulse. And his heartbeat was slower than the noise he was hearing. He said that it was so bizarre because he could literally hear the blood pumping through this thing's heart. And he said it sounded almost like fizzy soda. After about 2 minutes of this, the creature must have started to back away because the noise started to quiet down, which it completely stops. So he assumes the creature is, you know, gone. The man ends his encounter with, I don't think it has come back since the heartbeat, but I know it will be back at some point with more elaborate tricks. Whether it's to kill me or just simply run me off the property is kind of anybody's guess. This dude is also a United States Marine combat veteran. So, would explain why he has firearms, so many of them, and
why he doesn't fuck around.
Yes, and being a combat vet, dude's not going to scare very easy.
Trying to break this down. So it's...
Oh, there's a little bit more. Not as far as his experience, but there are... Like, so after this guy submits his episode or his story to this webpage, he starts kind of digging around the community, asking questions. And he found out that some of his neighbors would occasionally hear things walking through the woods at night. And one of his neighbors even warned him that something comes around here at night. The man also believes that if it wasn't for the crows warning him that day, he wouldn't be here. As far as the deer goes, the man had actually saved this deer and fed it and took care of it. So the deer that got killed was his fucking buddy. He had rescued this deer, right?
It's like a sign.
So, you know, like I said, he considered it to be a friend. And the deer would also more or less alert the man if anything were to approach the property. And I fucking love this part because it just makes me smile. The man said, and I have the pictures to prove it. Where he originally found this first deer, not long after, he found another deer in the exact same spot. It was a fawn. And he actually had to go out there and put that deer down because something had wounded it and just left it there. But the man says, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I don't know if Dogman is trying to make like peace offerings to me, but he's going about it all the wrong way. It killed the one deer it should have left alone. And I read that and I'm like, yes.
Just messed up.
He's like, I'm a United States Marine and heavily armed here, including night vision. I recently purchased slugs designed to kill grizzly bears. I also set up tripwire alarms and a perimeter around my home and game cameras. He also notes that during his encounter with Dogman, that he had a camera set up where he feeds the deers. Well, that night, the camera caught coyotes, and he swears that he has never, ever, ever, ever captured coyotes on his trail cams before or after this experience, only during this experience.
That's weird.
But I've also heard that Dogman runs with packs like that.
That's weird.
Oddly enough, the pictures from the second deer are pretty fucked. It has this odd huge chunk missing from its ass. And the man also notes that buzzards in the area won't touch anything a Dogman kills. Anything else won't last a day, but anything a Dogman kills, the buzzards want nothing
Where
to do with
did
it.
We hear that.
Cattle mutilations.
Yep.
But here's the fawn.
That's not the OG one that was.
No, this one's the fawn. The second one he had to put down.
Almost like he's leaving, like a trade.
Yeah.
Like we heard from some Bigfoot encounters, where
yep.
the Bigfoot will take apples off the tree, and in turn he'll leave. Rabbit heads.
Right. Now this would be the OG one.
Oh.
There's the puncture marks.
Yeah.
Look, there's the spine pulled through the belly.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about his encounter and like, the thing that throws me for a loop is that it kept circling the house and it was checking the doors and the windows. This thing's massive enough to where if it wanted to come in.
That's what he said.
It's coming in.
He's like, it would have turned my front door to splinters if it wanted to.
Yeah, it's almost like it was feeling him out or intimidating him maybe, trying to scare him.
Well, what's kind of fucked up when I was reading the story, I'm kind of processing things, and dude, it is so similar to the experience I had, minus seeing an 8-foot creature. I don't remember seeing that. I remember seeing a dog, but dog jumped up to kitchen window where I seen it. The dog circled my house. As I'm walking through my house, I hear what I perceive as someone beating on the door, boom, 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 or the walls as I move through the house. And then when I lay down in my bed, not a foot away from my head, I hear boom, 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 boom.
That's the worst.
And I mean, you can go back to the very first episode we have ever done, and that story is there of me telling this story. And as I'm reading this guy's story, I'm like, holy shit. Like, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm like, but there are a couple parallels there that are fucking weird.
That is creepy.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't even perceive my encounter as a dogman experience until Tony brought it up.
I wonder if there are any dogman encounters around our area.
That's a good question.
Any locals that are listening, if you've had some sort of encounter with what you might believe is a dogman.
That's a good question.
Shout us out and let us know. Because I'm curious if it's kind of a geographical thing that we got going on around here. Our area is pretty weird.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to talk about it.
And then back to that first picture there, that almost looks like something of a cattle mutilation.
Kind of.
Just how weird it is.
Yeah, or something took it. It almost looks like something took a bite out of it.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
It's fucking weird looking, man.
Did it say that he found any tracks or anything?
No, never did. Nope, never did. But I got to digging around a little bit more because this is I want to say pretty close to the LBL in Kentucky there. And ironically enough, in Kentucky around the 1600s, the French settlers brought tales of the Rogueru, a bipedal dog-like creature with a tendency of violence towards anyone who witnesses it.
Werewolf dog.
Also, Cherokee tribes in the same area have stories of the Limekin, a word borrowed from northern tribes to describe an almost identical beast. So how bizarre is it that you have
all sorts of different cultures seeing the same shit throughout
centuries. They just named it something different, right? It's just different names.
And I mean, you think about the story of werewolves. They're pop culture icons.
Yeah.
But they had to have spawned from somewhere.
Bingo. And 90% of them have the appearance of what this dude described.
It's like when I were we hanging out that day when I Googled what's the difference between dogman and a werewolf?
Yes.
And someone said, werewolves aren't real, dogmen are.
Yeah.
I said,
it was
right.
On our last Patreon.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
Copy that.
Yeah. And then the last one that I have is you briefly touched on it, but I ended up finding a little bit on it. Apparently around the same area, there have been reports of people finding livestock slaughtered, and it's almost like it's killing it for sport. Like it's not even eating, it's just killing it for sport. One man even said that he saw it. I think it jumped out of his chicken coop and ran past him, and it was an older man, and he's like, I pissed myself. I legitimately pissed myself when I seen it.
I would too.
The last one that I found was,
I fucking would too.
Around the 1980s, there was a report that the police were called to a campsite in the backwoods of the LBL. They found a pretty fucking gruesome scene. They found three bodies, a young couple, and a child. All of the bodies have been ripped to shreds, like decapitated, arms ripped off, the whole nine. And one of the cops walks, I think it was like 50-something yards away, kind of investigating the surrounding area, and the men back at the camp hear a scream. So the cops run in that direction, and it's their coworker who has blood all over them, or all over him, and the blood was coming from above them. So they shined lights up the tree, and they found a body in the tree that was just as mutilated as the other ones. And they're contributing this to a dogman attack. And apparently, from what, like, there's big controversy around that story. A lot of people are saying it's just a legend or whatever. But there are people that also swear up and down that it's a true story. And a lot of people are suggesting that the local police / government is covering it up because they don't want people to know about it.
Yep, that's what I've heard.
Which, I mean, it would make sense, especially if if you're in a small town, small town. This local sheriff is most likely not going to want that to get out.
No,
everybody would be terrified. But it makes you wonder, like, all them people that go missing in the national forests and all that shit, or just anything. People go missing. How many times, you know, is it possible that the local police department or even the government is stepping in and going, yeah, you're going to figure out something else to tell the people. You're not telling them about this. It's not happening. Not today.
I had heard that story. And for anybody that's wondering, LBL stands for Land Between the Lakes. And it's just this swath of land in Kentucky where some kind of beast is reported to live. I'd heard that second story told. It's made its rounds on TikToks a couple times, and I hear it told differently. Some people say that the family lived inside a motorhome, which is what I heard the first time.
Yeah.
And they found two, the parents inside the motorhome, brutally murdered.
Really?
Torn apart. Just the motorhome was just soaked, and they found the partially devoured body of the daughter lodged in a nearby tree.
Yeah. So I did find another version of the story written a little bit different than what you just said, but they kind of like wrote it as a story, like somebody was there with firsthand account of it, because they were like, the son and the father were by the tongue of the camper, and then this beast appeared and went after the dad.
That was actual account.
Yeah, and I'm like, but there were no survivors?
Yeah.
So, I see what you're trying to do here, and it's not very cool.
The commonality is definitely the fact that it's supposedly covered up by authorities. They said there's a small tourist industry, and they don't want to, like, push that button because the economy is so teetering on bringing people in to spend money down there.
Yeah. And with that first story, the guy reported that he started looking into it, you know, trying to figure out what the fuck he's seen. And he's like, I was shocked to hear so many stories of people around me that have dealt with this. I'm also shocked that I heard of a quote unquote hive of dogmen living, I think it was out around the sawmill in Grand Rivers, Kentucky, I believe. And I tried Googling that story to see if I could find it anywhere, and I could not find it. Because I was like, well, if there's like a whole clan of dogmen living in a specific area, I got to hear about this.
No kidding.
And I could not find it. I Googled, or I searched everything that I could as far as dogmen and Grand Rivers and the sawmill and this, that, and the other, and nothing popped up for me at all.
I did find another semi-recent encounter to add to that I'll read to everyone. It's from cryptids.fandom.com. It states, one of the most frightening of these encounters happened to a group of Murray State University students who were camping in the Land Between the Lakes in 1973. A group of young men were enjoying the woods on a warm spring weekend, sitting around a campfire by their Volkswagen microbus and just having a good time. As the evening began to draw in, one of the students went off into the woods to take a piss. When he returned to the campsite, he told his friends that he felt like something was watching him, and then he had heard, quote, something sniffing in the woods around him. His friend said that he just heard a wild hog or some other animal. The student said he'd never heard anything like it before and grew increasingly nervous as the darkness started to fall. As the night grew, the group started to hear shuffling sounds of something large moving in the fallen leaves. It seemed to be circling their campsites and moving incredibly swift. The boys became anxious. They shined their flashlights into the woods in the directions of the footsteps, but saw nothing. And then the howling began. It was wild, insane howling, like a wolf, only much louder than any wolf could ever be, and with an unnatural, blood-curdling quality that almost made the howling sound like mocking laughter. It seemed to come from everywhere around them. First one side of the circle of light around the fire, and then the opposite. Soon the terrified campers began to catch glimpses of a pair of glowing red eyes as it ran past in the dark. The terrified boys retreated to their Volkswagen bus and widely decided not to stick around to get a better look. Tearing down the road, they soon saw that they were being pursued, and that a massive shadowy figure was barreling behind them, barely visible in the bus's taillights. As the bus slowed to make a corner, they felt a massive jolt, and then it seemed as if something was holding the Volkswagen back. Giving everything it had, it broke free and tore out of the forest and didn't stop till they were back at Murray State campus. Back on the campus, they found four deep-like gashes, claw marks, if you will, torn into the metal engine compartment covered at the back of the bus.
Fuck that.
Could you imagine the power something would have to cling on to that and not let the bus move?
No. It would literally be able to rip you to shreds.
So as evidence for and encounters with, they call it the beast between the lakes, continues to this day. Experienced hunters shy away from the area. But those sportsmen who are new enough to the area scoff at the legends, often come home with tales of feeling as if they're being stalked in the woods. Deep holes, almost nest-like, are found dug within these woods, with tufts of long hair, coarsely textured grayish-brown fur found within them. Hmm. Rangers in the park are routinely asked what the strange howling is at night that the campers often hear.
I heard of it. I read a similar story to what you just said about... But these guys were out there riding dirt bikes and ended up running into one, and it started chasing one of them. I mean, he got away because the dirt bikes are, you know, they accelerate so fast. But he said it was fucking chasing him.
A buddy of mine, actually the guy that always stops you at the gas station.
Yeah.
His dad had not a dogman encounter, but a Bigfoot encounter that's very similar.
Really?
He chased them. They were out camping on dirt bikes. And they had their camp set up, the campfire going, and something started stalking the perimeter of the camp, started throwing stuff at them. They got terrified, jumped on the bike, took off. Something chased them. They ended up leaving one. They both jumped on the same bike, I think, and took off. And when they came back to the campsite the next morning, everything was fucked. The other dirt bike was torn to shreds. The camp was torn up. All the food was torn through.
That would be terrifying.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine coming face to face with an 8 foot tall
anything.
Yeah, a human being alone is impressive, but you get an 8 foot plus tall fucking werewolf or a damn silverback gorilla.
No.
I'm out. I'm done. I'm not dealing. I know no
Me
way.
Me and Kyle are jumping on the same bike and rolling out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is how it is.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be.
We're gone. Audi 5000, baby. I'm not taking my chances with those things.
No.
Because no matter what, we don't stand a chance.
Yeah.
I've never heard about dogmen possibly digging caves. Or not caves, but
like nests,
little holes.
But the fact that they refer to it as a hive kind of almost... It equates to that, and it's weird.
It's a creepy description.
I heard another story about Bigfoot here just popped up. I just saw it on the Facebook, but I can't remember what state it's in. Somewhere south, it might be Kentucky. Someone witnessed two full-grown Bigfoots going into abandoned coal mines.
Interesting.
Yeah, like.
Interesting.
Maybe they do hang out underground.
Yeah. Also, if anyone listening has heard this fucking story, please point me in the direction, because I would really like to find the story again, because I can't remember what podcast I heard it on, but it was a story of Dogman fighting Bigfoot fighting Indians.
Mm.
Yeah. I think if I remember right, the Indians...
Wasn't one of them created to fight the other?
Yes.
I don't know if I heard you talking about that or if I actually heard it, I have heard it somewhere.
Yeah, it might have been me, but I can't find the fucking story again. It was a really good one. But yeah, I can't remember which one was created for the... I want to say the Bigfoot were created to fight the Dogmen. But it could be. It could very well have been the other way around. And then it got to the point where they all basically started fighting each other. Because the Indians tried double-crossing them and killing them all.
Now everybody's a goddamn enemy.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, and then it eventually got to the point where they just kind of all separated into gang territories.
They're like, you don't mess with us.
Yeah.
We won't mess with you.
Yeah.
You don't mess with them.
It was a really fascinating story. I'd like to find it again, but I cannot find it. I even tasked Discord with finding it, and they couldn't find it.
I've heard it before, but like I said, I don't know if it was us talking about it.
Right.
Previously, or if it's something new.
Right.
Or something I heard, I mean.
Yeah, it was a good one. But nevertheless, that was my little bit of a dog man finding. Pretty interesting shit. I don't hear too much about dog men.
Oh, that's why
I really don't.
If this falls on anybody's ears that have had experiences with what they believe to be a dog man, please let us know.
Yeah, for sure. You don't hear, I shouldn't say you. I don't hear many dog men stories.
No, I feel like they kind of get lost in the flow with other similar cryptids.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
So, yeah. Get us your Dogman stories.
Please, and thank you.
And all your other stories.
Yeah, because I guarantee there's some really dope Dogman stories out there.
Oh, yeah. So, until next time, check us out at all our socials. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and TikTok. Come and hang out with us. Till we meet again, stay weird, stay safe, and don't try to fight a dog man on your own. Don't try to trade deer with dog man. Just don't do it.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.